Sí, todo lo cual. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, as we prepare to study your word, I pray that you would just bring forth your word in this hour. Bring forth the revelation of your word. That it would ignite within us the tools that are there within us, the tools that are available to us, Lord God, to fulfill the call that's on each of our lives. That your word would bring forth life and healing and wholeness and deliverance, security, authority. Let your word be imparted into us this hour, Lord God. Your word. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for igniting our spirits even now to receive of your word. Let it be your message that comes forth. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious name. Amen. Before we close today, I want to pray over the Cedarwood outreach to the homeless. So don't let me forget, please. 1 Thessalonians. When we went through this book, and when the Lord told me that he wanted us to study 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You know, it's such a personal letter. We talked about this last week. It's such a personal letter that we see in 1 Thessalonians, where Paul reaches into the lives of those that he suffered so much, so greatly, in order to get the gospel deposited into their lives. It was a divine appointment as he prepared for the harvest. And last week the Lord told me we need to prepare for the harvest. We have been seeking him day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, as we pressed into his word. His word refining us and preparing us for this hour. Doing the work in us to prepare us for this hour. He's calling us to prepare for the harvest. The harvest that will come forth. The harvest that will be hungry. The harvest that will need to be fed the truth of God's word, the purity of God's word, the nuggets of God's word, where they will need to receive a power-packed deposit of his word into their lives. One of the things that the Lord said to me today is that we need to, in our efforts to prepare for the harvest, we need to prepare ourselves to be a vessel for the gospel to flow. Now, we've talked about becoming a vessel of light, becoming a vessel for the kingdom of God, becoming a vessel for impartation. But a vessel receives and pours out. Receives and pours out. That's what a vessel does. A vessel doesn't contaminate the contents. It's a refined vessel that we've been called to be. And so we are receiving our vessels for the gospel message to flow out from us. That's what the Lord has been doing over the course of the last year, 2 years, even 3 years, is preparing us to be a vessel for the gospel to flow in and out of, uncontaminated by our own thoughts and emotions, our own perceptions. It needs to be pure. It needs to be refined. It needs to be the purest form coming forth into the harvest. Part of the problem that we see in the pulpits today is the contaminated Word of God. They have watered it down. They have diluted it on such a ridiculous level that they've stripped the power of the Word of God, because there's one 10-second insertion of a scripture surrounded by 22 minutes of anecdotes. Where is authority? Where is the power of the living God coming forth in those services? Where is it? Why have we come to a place where we are so diluting the Word of God that we are barely getting it out? Why have we forgotten our purpose? We are vessels from which the gospel message must flow. We are vessels from which the gospel message must flow. There's a lot of reasons why we dilute the Word of God. There's a lot of reasons why. And I'm not going to go into all of those details right now. That could take hours, honestly. But time is short. We are preparing for the coming of the King, and the harvest is not yet ready, because it hasn't received the pure message of the gospel of Christ. If you think good thoughts, you're saved. If you do good works, you're saved. If you come to church on Sunday, you're saved. If you have a Bible in your home, you're saved. If you said the Lord's Prayer once this year, yep, you're in. Where's the integrity? Where's the intensity? Where's the gospel message coming forth that brings tears down our eyes, that causes our hearts to ache and yearn for more of Him, that helps us to understand what He really did on the cross? The passion of Christ. The passion of the work of the cross. His passion is us. That's why when they put Him on that cross and He hung there and He gave up His life for us, after the torturous path to get there, He did so because of His great love for each person who would come into the kingdom because of the sacrifice He made for us. We rarely hear about the work of the cross. We rarely hear what it actually takes to be saved. The Lord is coming. And we've been called to prepare for the harvest. In becoming a vessel that lives to declare the passion of Christ is a part of that. Paul talks about the gospel throughout Thessalonians. He talks about the significance of the gospel message, of the word of the Lord coming forth. In chapter 1, verse 5, the gospel came to the Thessalonians in word, in power, in much assurance, through the Spirit, demonstrating what manner of men we are. So it's proven. The gospel message came forth in word, in power, in assurance, through the Spirit, and proven by their actions. As a result of their efforts to get the gospel message, do you remember? A man came and appeared to Paul and said, "Come to Macedonia, help us." And Paul awakened his fellow travelers. "Come, we've got to go right now." As the Lord led him through the journey to get there, he came forth through much persecution. He almost died in Philippi. He almost died. The gospel comes forth through much affliction. The faith message teaches us what? As long as you have faith, you're not going to have sickness. As long as you have faith, you're going to have financial prosperity. As long as you got faith, you're not going to have affliction. That is not an accurate interpretation of the word of God. Where is the purity that comes forth from a vessel that has been refined, prepared to bring forth the gospel message? We are vessels for the gospel to flow through. The gospel, the purity, the intensity, the afflictions, the trials, the persecutions, and yes, even the death for the sake of the truth of the Word of God, because it is the truth of the Word of God that will get people saved. It is the only way that they will see the power of God unto salvation. Through much affliction, everywhere Paul went, he set up churches. The men who traveled with them were often left to be apostles in those churches to help disciple the people and prepare them to stand in difficult times. Not to prepare them to stand to be a life of prosperity, but to stand in the midst of difficult times. To press through in prayer. And to be prepared to die for what you believe. To die for the gospel. Every drop of a martyr's blood is a soul that enters the kingdom of God. If we die for the sake of the gospel, do you know how many drops of blood we have? More than we could count. Paul was sent out as he prepared people to be vessels of the gospel. Under the cover of night, he was left dead outside cities and collected by his fellow travelers and rushed out. Did he let that last city, that last experience? Because he may have planted a church there, but there were those waiting, the Jews, the traditionalists, waiting to stone him. For spreading the message of Jesus Christ. They had not yet been awakened to their Messiah. Paul understood he did not hold a grudge because he himself had been there. For 3 years he traveled, bringing Christians in to go to the games, to be ripped apart by lions. He was passionate about it. This is God that they're mocking, that they're mocking. He knew what they were going through. When the Jews came and they stoned him and left him outside cities, he understood because he had been there. Bitterness did not develop within him. He forgave them because he'd walked the path they were on. And his heart, his cry, his passion was to see the gospel message opened up to them. That's why he went into the synagogues. Every single town he went into, he would go in and he would discuss how Jesus fulfilled the law for weeks on end. With a heart, with a passion, that they would receive the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that he had fulfilled the law, that he had come to die for them. He was the promised one. He was the fulfillment of the covenant. That was his heart's cry. So he understood where they were coming from. When he would leave, he left the gospel. He prepared them to be vessels of the gospel. He prepared them to endure persecution. He prepared them to press in. He followed it with letters. Thousands of miles this man traveled in his lifetime, creating in them men who would be bold to speak the gospel of God, even through much contention. 1 Thessalonians 2:2, that word contention is a grueling conflict, a struggle in the soul. Amid all hindrances, let us exert ourselves to the utmost to attain the goal of perfection set before the followers of Christ. Amid all hindrances, let us exert ourselves to the utmost to attain the goal of perfection set before the followers of Christ. It can be any struggle with danger, annoyances, obstacles, standing in the way of our faith, our efforts toward holiness, and our desire to spread the gospel. That's a power-packed word, contention. The root of the English word is agonized. So they were bold to speak unto them the gospel of God with much agony, much contention, anything that would stand in the way of our faith, our holiness, and our desire to spread the gospel. That's how he traveled. His goal was to leave a church capable of doing the same thing. Are we vessels of the gospel? Is that what we're doing? Are we bold to speak the gospel with much contention? These days, we ask somebody if they know Jesus. They roll their eyes. That's all the contention we need. Have a good day. And off we go. What happened to the fire of a living God, the power of the gospel unto salvation that must be within us that we can pour our lives out on behalf of another, that they too might enter the kingdom of God, that we can fight through it because we love their soul more than we love our own flesh, our own reputation, are we vessels of the gospel? Or are we vessels full of ourselves? What do we pour out when we meet somebody? Us? Do we have our bio laid out for them? Or do we pour out the message of the gospel? Do we fight? Our greatest battle to get the message of the gospel out is within ourselves. We say, I would die for the Lord. But would you die for the souls that will be won for the Lord? Would you? I ask myself this every day. Would I die for the souls that would be won for the kingdom of God? Our greatest conflict comes within ourselves. The greatest contention standing in the way of our faith, a life of holiness, and a desire to spread the gospel, is our own flesh. That's why he's been refining us. Paul said, I die daily. How are we any different? Our flesh must die daily, that the gospel can flow through us. When we go to somebody, we don't go and say, well, hi, I'm Ricky. I am the vice president of World for Jesus Ministries. And what do I do there? Well, you know, it depends upon what day it is. I teach, I pray, I do bookkeeping, I could go on and on and on about my list of responsibilities here. And you know what? It's I. My name is Ricky, and I'm a servant of the Most High God. And I'm here to give you the gospel. He died for you, that you might have life everlasting. Time is short, and I am a vessel of the gospel of Christ. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter if I clean the toilets. It doesn't matter if I cook the food. It doesn't matter if I write the paychecks. It doesn't matter. What matters is this moment right here and now that I must be a vessel of the gospel to pour into your life, because your soul is what matters today. In this moment, it isn't about me. It's about your soul and you entering the kingdom of God. This could be your only chance. It's not about us. It's about being a vessel that has fought through the contention, that has allowed themselves to die daily, that the gospel can pour through us freely. First Thessalonians 2:4, we're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. So we speak not to please man, but God. We have been entrusted with the gospel message. The word of God. The power of God unto salvation. So we speak not to please man, but to please the living God. We are not there to tell them what we think they want to hear, because their flesh is going to rear up and it might as well have a dozen or so stones to throw at you, locked and loaded. Their flesh will resist. But when the power of the living God comes coursing through your veins, with you being a vessel of the gospel, it will break down the barriers and penetrate into the very heart and soul of that individual. It's about being a vessel for the gospel. The harvest is coming. First Thessalonians 2:8. Paul says they imparted the gospel. With the gospel, willing even of their own souls. When we impart the gospel into someone's life, a piece of us goes with that. A piece of us. That's why it's so important that we ask the Lord to cleanse the layers of our soul, because we don't want to deposit anything in them that is not pure, that is not refined. Our soul is the seat of our emotions, our desires, that which makes us tick. What makes us tick? What makes us get up in the morning? Is it our job? Is it our family? Or is it a desire to spend time with the living God, receiving of Him that we might pour out unto the lost and dying world? A transition is taking place. Transition is taking place, and He is preparing us to focus not on the things that are around us, not on the contention, not on the struggles, but on the purpose for our creation, to be a vessel of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are vessels of light. There is no darkness in the light as it flows from Him through us. Cleanse the layers of your soul. Ask the Lord to cleanse the layers of your soul, that all that is within you may not interfere with the message of the gospel. When Paul went, he loved. He went, he loved. He served. They poured out. They labored among the people. They didn't just drop the John 3:16 and say, good luck with that. This is your key. I'm going to give you a key, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall have life everlasting. That's your key to the gates of heaven. Don't lose it. No, he labored among them. He sowed into their lives that they might stand strong in the midst of affliction and become vessels for the gospel to flow. He allowed God to refine him. He allowed God to purify him. He allowed God to strip him of his past, that he might be created a new creature in Christ, and that all that would pour from him would be that which glorifies Christ. Does that mean we shouldn't have flaws? No, actually, the beauty of our flaws shows the strength of God. In my weakness, he is made strong. He's not made strong. I gotta go out and I gotta get strong so I can do the work of the Lord. And that is an immediate invitation for a breakdown, where the Lord puts his thumb on you and begins to break down the self nature. Because it's about him. What he has done through your weaknesses, in spite of my failures, he enabled me to be a vessel of his message, a vessel of his gospel, a vessel of holiness, a vessel of the word of the living God. In spite of my many weaknesses, in spite of my many failures, in spite of my many flat on my face moments, he allows me to be a vessel. Those moments aren't a badge of honor. They're a demonstration of his glory, his work, in spite of me. When we are willing to preach the gospel through labor, through travails, living out that gospel message, demonstrating the love of Christ, allowing him to do the work that he can flow through us without hindrance, something takes place between us and the person who receives. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That is a power-packed scripture right there. That word received means to aggressively take by showing strong personal initiative. That means it didn't go in one ear and out the other. That means they grabbed hold of it, it pierced their hearts, and they began to allow the Spirit of the living God to bring forth his gospel message in their lives and transform them into his children. That means they are making a life-altering transition. Their own path has been closed down, and they're making a right-hand turn straight down the narrow path and into the kingdom of God. Aggressively grab hold of the message of God. When we have allowed him to create in us a vessel for the gospel of God, for his word, it pierces the hearts of men. The more of him that flows through us and the less of our soulless natures it flows out with that message, the deeper the penetration of the gospel of God. That's why the refining is so important. That's why a life of holiness is so important. That's why hiding his word in our heart, we have no idea the impact of that statement. Hide his word in your heart. That means to tuck so much of his word in your heart that what comes out of it is the word of God. Do you hear me? We tuck it in and it flows out. That doesn't mean we tuck it in and we lock it away. We tuck it in and it flows out. In this process, the word of God becomes truth in the heart of the recipient. And it effectually works. It works the passion into the heart of the believer. And over time, this person that you poured out into their lives, the gospel message, and that gospel message transformed their lives, that cycle then continues. And they become fellow laborers, establishing and comforting others. Chapter 3:2. Why? So that no man should be moved in the midst of persecutions, afflictions, tribulations. Why? Because we are appointed to suffer tribulation. We are appointed to suffer persecutions. You can't accept the Lord and not be appointed for that. Why? Because the world hates God. Do you hear me? The world hates anything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Satan owns this world. He reigns here right now. Jesus said, the world hates me, therefore it will hate you. Why is that? Because the world is in darkness. Until a vessel of the gospel of Jesus Christ pours into that individual, they are living in that same darkness. The day of the Lord is upon us. It is not far off. I'm telling you, it is not far off. We have deception. We have false prophets. We're in the course of a great falling away right now. The day of the Lord is not far off. Wars and rumors of wars, pestilence. The day of the Lord is not far off. We are preparing for that day. The Lord's allowed his refining to prepare vessels for the gospel, that we might pour out into the lost and dying world. So when the day of the Lord comes forth, the harvest will be taken up. The harvest is upon us. We have been called to prepare for the harvest. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is your fear of man greater than your fear of God? Is your love for that soul greater than the love for your flesh? I don't ask you any question I haven't asked myself and actually had to go to my knees to deal with. We cannot waste any more time. We can't. Those souls are out there. They're out there. They're out there. And they need the gospel. They need Him. They need the message of the living God. They need to know the passion and that they're counted among that passion of Christ. They need it. Is our fear of man greater than our fear of God? I know that you've probably all seen The Passion of Christ. I watched an interview with Jim Caviezel, and if I butchered his name, just let's move past it. And he was invited to a significantly large church. And the pastor, and it was a very informal setting. They had him sitting on stage where he would discuss his work on The Passion, the movie. And the pastor's there, and he's pretty laid back in his jeans and, you know, rolled up sleeves. And they had a couple chairs up on stage. And they brought Jim out. You know, and everybody's thrilled. Ah, the guy who played Jesus. And the pastor goes up and he hugs him. And the pastor looks out at the crowd and he said, I just hugged Jesus Christ. And the people chuckled, but Jim did not. Hundreds and hundreds of people in that audience. And he did not laugh. Because he wasn't there to glorify himself. He wasn't there to glorify Jim. He was there to glorify God. And he just walked the steps that Jesus walked. And he nearly died doing the crucifixion scene. He nearly died. He had to have heart surgery when that film was done. He said, if I die, this message will go even farther because more people will want to see the movie that an actor died trying to finish. More people will want to see it. That means that the gospel message will get out further. I'll do it. They wanted him to stop filming and go and have the surgery. They wanted him to. He said, I can't do it. Because it's not about my flesh. It's about the passion of Christ. The message of the gospel going forth. So when he stood there and that man said, I just hugged Jesus. He did not laugh with the multitude because he knew what his Lord had gone through and must have been so much greater than what he almost died trying to do. He would not allow them to mock his Lord and Savior. would not allow them. He would not be a part of the mockery of the work of the cross. Because he honored his God. He honored the message of the gospel. And the refining work that had been done in his life had forever changed him. Forever changed him. Is that the message that we are fighting to deliver? An anointing came through him that day. I watched the rest of the interview, and an anointing came through. The gospel poured out of him in spite of the pastor. But the pastor shifted. You could tell he was a man who sought to please his people instead of a man who sought to please his God. And I believe a mark was left on his heart that day by his time with Jim. A mark. Who are you pleasing when you stand on this stage? The people in front of you or the God who sent you? Are you a vessel of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the gospel message. I thank you for creating in us vessels capable of carrying the gospel unhindered, where we're driven by our passion for their soul more than our passion to please them, where we're driven by our passion to please you, the God who has sent us, rather than man. Let your word do its work in us so deep, Lord God, so deeply. That we become pure vessels. Where an outpouring of the gospel message can come forth. Give us the grace, O God, to let you finish the work in us. Give us the grace, Lord God, to die daily. That it can be you who lives through us, not us. Lord God, it's you living through us. Your passion, your love, your truth, your key to the kingdom of heaven. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. In your precious name, I seal this time with your blood. Amen.